Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, June 1st, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 42, the first paragraph that begins, two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me, through one paragraph ending that I could do the job myself, commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Karen W., 12 Traditions, Maureen B., Readers of the Text, Jane S., and Robin P., and our backup reader, Christina L., newcomer greeter, Felicia F., and second hour host, Hanayeta R. The reference number for Sunday, May 31st, 2026 meeting is 23504. That's 23504. A preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen W., compulsive overeater from Texas. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. Pass.
Thanks, Karen. And I will now ask Maureen B. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Maureen.
One moment, please. Good morning, everybody. This is Maureen B. from Michigan, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Maureen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 42, the first paragraph that begins, two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me, through one paragraph ending that I could do the job myself. And we're commenting on that one paragraph. And I will now ask Jane S. to begin reading. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. My name is Jane S. and I'm hailing from New Hampshire. And I'm grateful to know that I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery today. I'm recovered. So two of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. They grinned, which I didn't like so much. Then asked me if I thought myself alcoholic and if I were really licked this time. I had to concede both propositions. They piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality such as I had exhibited in Washington was a hopeless condition. They cited cases out of their own experience by the dozen. This process snuffed out the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. Wow. So this took me back. I had this very experience in Alcoholics Anonymous, but what's important to me is that it took me years and years in and out of this program to come to this humble state of admitting that I really was a compulsive overeater. And I could not do this on my own. I was just like Fred. I tried so many ways, but I finally had to come to a place, which I did almost 2 years ago now, where everything looked great on the outside, but on the inside, I was just a mess. I was irritable, restless, discontent. I had to fully concede to my innermost self that I was hopeless, and that if I didn't have God guiding my way for everything, that I was doomed. And I had to let go with both hands, and my ways were not working. So I surrendered. I accepted who I was, what I was. That I did definitely have a physical allergy and a mental obsession, and my ways just weren't working anymore. I was hopelessly and continuously and endlessly trying to do it my way. I was letting go of some things, but I was not letting go of everything. And I did the steps, but I didn't do them completely. That's my truth. My truth is I never finished all my amends. And so, I had some neutrality, I had some recovery, but God removed that from my life because I really was not being rigorously honest. I had to become rigorously honest. And when I came back a couple years ago and got back into the steps with a new sponsor in a new way, went back to a workshop that I had done before that just used to irk the daylights out of me, and this time I was ready to listen and to basically the biggest change in my life today is that God is everything. God has restored me to a place of sanity where I come from a recovered state of mind today. I have a peace and serenity that I have never had in my life. My amends journey was absolutely amazing. I had to do a lot of work, and I continue to do that work, and God continues. I woke up this morning. I'm still a compulsive overeater, but today I can come from a recovered place in my life, a peace and serenity in my life, because I've made my plan today. I've spent my quiet time with God. I've asked for direction. I've given my life and will, all of me, mind, body, soul, spirit, everything over to God. I've written my action plan. I have my intention set, but you know, I always put a caveat in there to let God unfold my day and to listen for those nudges because He's in charge today. He's navigating today. And with that, pathway of God being everything, then I have a chance of having an amazing life today, an amazing day today. So thank you, God, for all you give me and your grace and mercy. And thanks for letting me share all that.
Thanks so much, Jane. I'll now take a list of names of people who want to share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any of the vision meetings, please hold back and let your friends share. Okay, I am ready.
Lisa B.
Elena
C.
Laurel B.
Elena C.
Janice P.M.
Yes.
Felicia S.
Okay, I will tell you who I have, and I believe I missed some people. Lisa B., Laurel B., Elena C., Janice P.M., Felicia F., and that's all I got.
Pedro B.
Okay.
Pedro.
Okay, I got
Robin
Pedro.
P. Robin P.
Nick. Robin.
Pete B.
Is there anyone else? Pete. Anyone else here? Okay,
Roy,
we will go with that. Okay, is that Roy or Troy?
Roy C.
Got you, Roy? Okay.
You want to put me also? My name is Leah.
Got you. Leah, what's first initials, your last name?
Sure, S.
Okay, we'll stop here for now. We'll start with Lisa B., followed by Laurel B.
Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Lisa.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. Thank you, Janet, for your service, and thank you. Oh, my gosh, the name of the speaker just left my mind, but thank you so much for your wonderful share. What stands out to me in this passage are the promises of the Big Book that begin long before step 9, you know, and one of the great promises of step 1 is described here. The process snuffed out the last flicker that I could do the job myself. And for years, I believed I could manage my food problem through willpower, exercise, determination, self-knowledge. And the real gift of step 1 finally came when I don't know why, but it just finally sunk in, the truth about myself. I think being in this meeting, hearing it through the Big Book, hearing it through other recovered compulsive overeaters, my best thinking could not solve my problem. And I think the realization that relapse could potentially just be a way of life for me, and that I could just live out my life that way, that I may not die, you know, as a result. And I think it was the fear of living in chronic relapse that really snuffed out the flicker of conviction that I could do it myself. And I read about them grinning, you know, and this person writing, you know, in this story about himself, or he didn't like that they were grinning, but they're smiling because they know that there's hope. They had been where he was. They weren't bringing theories, they were bringing experience. And they knew that if he was truly licked, there was finally a chance he might be willing to listen. And that's meaningful to me when I work with others. When someone is hopeless, I don't have to fix them. In fact, hopelessness can be a gift because it's a door that opens for willingness. But what happened for me wasn't that someone giving me advice. It was listening to the experience, strength, and hope of people who had recovered. And the passage, it reminds me that recovery is built on one alcoholic, one compulsive overeater sharing honestly with another. And I listen to those who have gone before me. And today I have the privilege of passing that hope on to someone else. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And now we've got Laurel B. followed by Elena C. Good morning, Laurel.
Good morning, Janet. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago, Illinois. It's said in this paragraph that the man now believed that he was an alcoholic. His decision came from within. The men that came to see him didn't evangelize or try to reform him. They didn't say, you better put down the alcohol. The man was able to diagnose himself as an alcoholic. In the chapter, Working with Others, on page 91, it says to describe ourselves as compulsive overeaters, we don't diagnose another person. We tell our stories so that he or she may identify with us, not to moralize or lecture them. I noticed that they cited cases of their own experiences by the dozen. We are to do the same thing. We are to continue to speak of compulsive overeating as an illness, a fatal malady. We are to talk about the hopelessness of the disease because we can offer a solution. In my own experience, when I approach a potential sponsee in this non-judgmental way, they are more interested in what I have to say. They are more likely to see that they cannot do the job themselves, so they are eager to accept my help. And that's all I have. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Laurel. And now we've got Elena C. followed by Janice P.M. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad I'm here. I have been in a 10 o'clock meeting, and for one reason or another, it was hard for me to wake up, and I haven't shared in a while here. So what I underline in this paragraph, I underline they piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality such as I had exhibited in Washington was a hopeless condition. So what does that mean? It means that to me, and I believe to them as well, that, you know, when you are still in drinking, there's no way you could stop by yourself. You know, I mean, maybe I believe that it's very, very hard. So the hopelessness of the condition, you know, what we do it ourselves when we are in triggering foods, I can have one and I'm done. And that's what I told myself. And I couldn't have just have one. I had a very good intention to stop on my own with dying mentality, you know, and I could not. That's hopelessness. And until I really suffered real extreme hopelessness inside of me, I did not reach out to people. You know, I knew OA existed. I had a friend who was attending Al-Anon like I did and talked to me about it, and there was no way I went until I really, really suffered on the inside. There's nothing I can do on my own. And I surrendered and I went to an OA meeting. And even then, you know, I still was like, went back and forth. I can do this on my own. No, I cannot. I can do my triggering food. No, I cannot. So gosh, you know, it was crazy. And I am so happy today that I have you, that I'm not by myself. So we heal here in a community, in a community. We heal here with God of our understanding. You know, we heal here with your God of your understanding, whatever that would be. And I'm very, very happy that you are here, that I'm part of this community. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena. And next we have Janice P.M., followed by Felicia F. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you, Janet B. And my name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. What a most powerful step one paragraph this is. We see that the story of Fred, he's coming and he's really, really out of it because he remembers what happens in Washington. He feels defeated. The right time for two members, who are the two members of Alcoholics Anonymous, they recovered, got him. They got him when he was at his bottom, when his thinking was different. They grinned. And, you know, Fred didn't like it. What do you mean you're grinning at me? What are you laughing at? You know, well, they weren't laughing because they were judging. They were laughing because they understood how he felt. First of all, they asked him a couple of questions. What a wonderful 12-step call guide this is when we first come upon a sponsee, somebody that's really hurting. One, I never pronounce them as a compulsive overeater. Ask them if they think they are an alcoholic or a compulsive overeater, you know, and then they ask him, do you think you're licked this time? What a beautiful way to get into it, you know. And they'll say, oh, yeah, yeah. So they're really grinning with love, aren't they? And so at this time, you know, he feels licked. What a blow, the previous paragraph. So now he's making a conclusion. He's conceding to admit about himself. That, yeah, you know what? I can't do it myself. Now, let me tell you my experience. I've been there many a times. I knew I couldn't do it myself, but I kept trying. So I didn't really, I admitted it, but I didn't accept my powerlessness because that's what it's all about. Yeah, I knew there was no hope. Well, I still try to get some, but it was my power that I didn't have. You know, I was always resistant and I was always fighting. So now that was real problem. So what happened was now that, yeah, okay, yes, I had to concede. I had to make a conclusion. I have to really accept. But, you know, I admitted it. I admitted it millions of times, but I didn't do anything on it. But what they did, they did two big things. They piled on him heaps of evidences of the alcoholic thinking. Remember how you felt? Okay, thank you. And, of course, their experiences. And so this kind of gave him, thank you, I'm getting finished for this one point that he needed to surrender to his powerlessness. And with that, thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Janice. And now we have Felicia, followed by Pedro B. Good morning, Felicia. Felicia,
good morning.
There we go. Gotcha.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service, Jenna and Team Monday. I am Felicia S. from New Jersey. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And today is 1 year abstinent. And when we read this paragraph, that gift of desperation that I was given 1 year ago today is such a gift. I didn't see it as a gift on that day. And the hope that comes in that knowing smile from others who have been there before us is incredible. In the moment, I wanted to punch people in the face, to be completely honest. But, you know, today I am so grateful that I was desperate and they were honest about my situation and helped me to see the fatal hopelessness of where I was at.
And if you would have told me a year ago that my life would be what it is now, I couldn't even fathom it or comprehend it. It is a jumping off point and a beautiful rocketing into another dimension. And then we get to give that same knowing smile to others. Again, not in a way that is arrogant or unkind, but it's just such a beautiful direction in our textbook of how to help those of us who are dying of this disease. Thank you.
Thanks, Felicia. Happy anniversary. And next up, we have Pedro B., followed by Nick F. Good morning, Pedro.
Good morning. Jan is your name, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess I can be heard. Yes, my name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. And I am a grateful compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to know that I am a compulsive overeater. I was remembering this morning, I was at a birthday party in LAX, you know, and I was some kind of shop, I remember, and I was talking to this guy. And he was asking me questions, just like, you know, they were asking Fred. And the question, I don't remember the question very well, but it was something about, do you know what your problem is? And I came out with some, you know, answer. And I remember the guy saying, no, your problem is that you are a compulsive overeater. That's what your problem is. And I said, oh, okay. Thanks for the info. Thank you very much. And, you know, in this paragraph, Fred is at the hospital, right? He's back. And the question, you know, are you licked this time? You know, what was the two questions? Yeah. Is it they pile? No, but the green, which is myself. If I thought myself a compulsive overeater, and if I were really licked this time, right? See, those two things that, you know, that crucial moment, right? He's at the hospital, and this crucial moment when, from that moment on, he starts recovering. Because, you know, I have, you know, started and restart, I don't know how many times, you know. I have no idea, but it's a lot of times. I don't know how many, hundreds or thousands, right? And I always thought that I was sleep this time. Yet, this disease keeps bringing me back to, and you know, in my case, and what happens is that there's a big difference between being abstinent and being entirely abstinent, because, you know, all of a sudden I want to change the rules. You know, I'd be fine if I eat tortillas, fried tortilla. You know, I'd be fine if I have a little bit of this, you know. And what happens, never fail, that when I change my food plan, when I introduce, you know, one of my alcoholic food, even if it's just a little bit, I always gain weight. I always gain weight. And I'm so grateful to know that, you know. And this time I recently relapsed, and I'm working on day 11 today one more time. And I hope.
It's time.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Pedro. And now we have Nick F., followed by Robin P. Good morning, Nick. Nick F., store one. There we go.
I'm Nick F. in Tennessee. Thank you so much. I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, Janet, in the introductions. And I had a great weekend in North Carolina. And my son is stationed in the Marines in North Carolina. And it means so much to me because I cannot do this job alone. You know, being able to get on the line and hearing the moderator and everyone's cheerful voice, like the sound that I know that we are no longer dying. from this disease. And when I think about, you know, they say they grinned, I'd imagine, like, when I'm telling somebody or asking somebody if they're a compulsive overeater, like, for me, I can remember just last year sitting in the drive-thru of KFC praying that they had four biscuits. I'm literally, like, in my deepest parts of my being, like, hoping that they have all the food that I planned to eat. And it's laughable now, but it certainly wasn't laughable then. And I work at a mental health facility, and I see some of my patients. And, you know, being a sober alcoholic, you know, and seeing what some of them come in for, getting to be a compulsive overeater, I also get to share the message, you know, that there is another addiction. This addiction is so subtle. And people do not acknowledge it very much unless we've been called here. And I'm so glad that I've been called here because, what it said, they piled on me heaps of evidence to the effect that an alcoholic mentality such as I had exhibited in Washington was a hopeless condition. Like my condition is hopeless. And, you know, nobody was able to pile on heaps of anything to me at one point. I was too busy piling on the food. And now, you know, thinking about my son, thinking about where he is, it wasn't that I didn't want to be a mother. I couldn't be a mother to my kids. And I was sober in AA, not a drink, not a drop. But I did not want to be around my kids because it would take away from my eating time. Like, this disease is so serious. It's so powerful. It will take away my desire to be a mother. People I brought on this planet, it steals everything from me. And I actually had just called my son before I dialed in, and I told him, son, I love you. I like you. You make me happy. You make me sad, but I'm proud of you, and I'll always be here for you because we're family. And I'm so glad that I get to come. I'm so glad I get to come on this line and be family with you all. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Nick. And next we have Robin P., followed by Pete B. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for this meeting, everyone who makes it possible. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. And, you know, I was just thinking about all these bottoms I had. And, you know, I'm a low-bottom, recovered, bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater. And, you know, and I thought, I'm not insane. How can the second step say insane? Oh, my gosh. And the pride. And I just wouldn't let anyone in. And just thinking, oh, it's okay. You know, like my nose was bleeding. Just horrible things, horrible memories that are each a bottom. And I just thought, I just need to die thin. That's not a sane thought, you know, and the hopelessness. I had to admit that I was hopeless. And for years, I just kept trying to do it by myself. And I never won a prize for doing it alone, and it never worked. And, you know, I think of the fellowship, and I think of how, you know, I was out there on this little raft, you know, with these huge waves and just, you know, playing Russian roulette with my life. And drowning over and over, you know, just like hanging by a thread. And then I get to be in this big, beautiful fellowship where we're all together on this beautiful boat. And no matter what the waters, however they come, I'm on this big fellowship and we all get to do it together. And I was just thinking about that today, how much better this is and how there is a solution and it works. Every time I reach up and I reach out, I always get the help I need to grow up. And, you know, I'm just literally eternally grateful for a vision for you. It's amazing to me that I'm the same person. I don't even feel like I am the same person. You know, my life is beyond my wildest dreams. And I'm working through a lot of things. And, you know, we still have these dogs from Costa Rica, and we're moving to London. in September, and we've been trying to find them. They're amazing dogs, and they're two bonded adults, so we've been trying to find them a permanent home. And I've cried more over these dogs than any human being. And the fact is that God's got them, and God's got me, and God's bigger. And that's what I learned from being restored to sanity and turning my will and my life over to God's care, is that God's bigger than whatever I'm going through. And I just get to focus on God and recovery and helping someone else and doing my 10th step, and it works every time. And I'm so grateful, no matter what you're going through, as long as we stay in the program, working the steps and being of help to God and our fellows, it works out. This too shall pass, and we get to grow spiritually. And I always think to myself, I get to grow up or grow out, and I choose to grow up today. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. Thank you for being there.
Thanks, Robin. And we've got Pete B, then Roy C, then Leah F, and then we will have time to take a few more names. So Pete B, you are up.
Thanks, Janet, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. I appreciate your service. My name's Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. You know, this book describes the alcoholic, the real alcoholic, or the real compulsive overeater as a person with a twofold illness, an allergy of the body, an obsession of the mind, right? And we know from the doctor's opinion, and there is a solution, that the only way to treat the allergy of the body is through entire abstinence. There's no connection that's going to change the fact that if I ingest a certain substance, it's going to trigger the phenomenon of craving. The only solution to that is entire abstinence. And so the other part of our illness is mental obsession, or this alcoholic mentality. How does that get addressed? Right, and it says here, you know, one of the problems with people that enter the recovery is that they're super smart. You know, they're just everybody's here really intelligent, accomplished people. And what happens with intelligent, accomplished people when you give them evidence that contradicts what they already think they know? You would think that their mind would open and they're responsive and receptive to the evidence, but that doesn't happen. What happens with smart people when they get evidence that contradicts their own beliefs is they resist it. They continue to seek out other supporting information that supports their point of view versus what the reality is. And that happens all the time. That happens all the time. We translate this information to help it meet our narrative versus what the actual narrative and the truth is. So to address the mentality, alcohol mentality, what do? You work the steps, right? Are the steps the psychological approach to weighing and measuring our emotions and our feelings and our thoughts about food? Is that what the purpose of the steps is? See, I don't see it like that, right? Because the next paragraph is going to say it. They outline the spiritual answer. See, the steps are not what we do in order to keep us from eating. The steps are what we do in order to produce an essential psychic change. The steps are what we use to have a spiritual experience. They're not the means to change our thinking. They're a means to change our spirit. And then when our spirit changes, our thinking changes. It's going to talk about that later on. I forget where it talks about it. But, you know, once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out physically and we straighten out mentally. See, we want to straighten out mentally and straighten out physically and then straighten out spiritually. And that's got it the opposite way around. Right, these steps are not the things we use to weigh and measure our emotions. They're the things we use that eliminate. And I'll shut up with this. Thank you. They're the things that we use that block us from forming the relationships that's vital to recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Keith. And now we have Roy C. and Leah S. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning. This is Roy C. I'm calling from Southern New Jersey, and great day to everybody, and thanks for taking the meeting, Janet, and doing a good job here. The two things that struck me about this paragraph was that it's an incurable illness, and along with, you know, that, and it's not, it's a hopeless condition if it's untreated. The hope comes in a lack of treatment of either the incurable illness or the hopeless condition. And it can't be done by yourself. Incurable illnesses need medication and therapy and the other things that the professional community can provide for us and that we can reach out and get. And the hopeless condition of compulsive overeating, and I'm a compulsive overeater, so I have this incurable illness. And the only way that I can seek treatment for it is by one of the things is to get on this meeting every morning and do my meal planning using the 9 tools of recovery in every way that I can think of doing. And do that, and then I can, you know, get treatment for this, you know, incurable illness. And on my really good days, yeah, I get treatment, and I'm doing real good. If I don't abide by the tools of treatment and look to a higher power and to other people to help me along with this condition, yeah, it is hopeless. But the hope is in getting treatment. And with that, I'll pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Roy. We've got Lisa, Leah S., and then we will take some more names. Good morning, Leah.
Thank you, Janet. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. I'm recovered in Brooklyn, New York. Okay, these two recovered people have my attention. This meeting has my attention. Why? I'm listening to people I don't know. I'm listening to voices that are from far from where I am, and I have no idea, and yet you've got my attention, and I'm coming to listen to you. And I'm coming to see and try to understand. What is it that I can't do? Why, for crying out loud, again and again, all those diet clubs, all those Weight Watchers, all those pills, all those surgeries, you know, lap band, this, that. And you know what? The most important part is that I'm always lethargic. I can do it. I can do it, but I'm too tired to do it. I'm too tired, and my own self is not working the way I want it to work. You know, I never thought about, you know, the kids go to Wonder Wheel, they go to this thing and that thing, and, you know, it hasn't become a novelty anymore that an airplane goes up there in the sky, but talk about the novelty about Leah. Leah's waking up every day, and she's able to get out of the house and run down those stairs and just do and want and meet and converse and whatever else that needs to be done and more. And then there's Leah that goes to sleep at night exhausted. And then miraculously just wakes up in the morning with all this energy. Where did it all come from? Tap into your higher power. Tap into your higher power about your food. Tap into your higher power about your situations in life and your circumstances. Let this program lead you, because this is like incredible. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah. And we have time for 4 more shares before I take some names. Let me tell you where we are. We are on page 42 of the big book, the paragraph that starts, 2 of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous came to see me. that ends that I could do the job myself. So I think we can get four people in. So who would like to share?
Ken WH.
Jen F.
Jen. A couple more. Some good stuff in this paragraph.
Ann M.
Ann.
Cheryl.
How about one more person? I'm sorry, who is that?
Cheryl L.
We will go with that, and I think that will take us out. Ben WH, Jen F, and M, and Cheryl L.
Thanks, Janet.
Good morning.
Okay. Hi, Janet. This is Ken, Ken WH, recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. I'll just quickly say that when I read this, I'm imagining Sergeant Joe Friday at a crime scene or something, and he says, just give me the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts. And that's kind of what these two guys brought to him, to Fred, and what has ultimately got me where I am today in recovery is, are you or aren't you? Yes or no? This isn't a rocket science or anything else. This is a simple question. Are you or aren't you a compulsive eater? Do the facts suggest that you are? Do the facts lead to one conclusion? Yeah. Yeah, I am. The rest of the story is the recovery part. The now what? Now that I'm totally powerless, totally hopeless, totally lost, and totally at step one, maybe for the first time in my life when I am about 6 years ago, yes, I am one of you. I'm part of this deal. I got this thing, and now I need a power greater than myself that's going to pull me out of this thing, because I can't. The facts are clear over and over. The stories I hear, the stories I speak are true facts about what my life has been like as a compulsive overeater. That's what I have to share. That's and there's a way out, and that's the good news. That's the hope part of sharing my experience, strength, and hope. My experience is that I'm a compulsive overeater. My strength is in a power greater than myself, and my hope is that this is the way I'm going to live out my life, and that it might be something that y'all or somebody else can accept and take. That's what the message I carry, and I'm grateful that I can. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Ken. And now we've got Jen F, followed by Ann M. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Janet. Jen F calling from South Jersey. Thank you so much for your service today. Such a blessing to be here. The word that really sticks out to me is when it says that the last flicker of conviction that I could do the job myself. And I was looking up that word conviction, a deeply held, unshakable principle or article of faith. And when I think about that word in the context of recovery and my faith, I think about the other side of that coin, which is condemnation, and how often I lived in condemnation with this disease, how often the shame and the discouragement and the hopelessness and the despair would just come upon me and overtake me. And it was so hard to get out of that cycle. And so it was this constant failure, 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 and that constant message of being in condemnation. And that just caused me to really isolate. And but when I think about the word conviction, I think about a loving God who's just drawing me to him. And he's changing my mind, and he's showing me who he's made me to be. And he's calling me up and out of the muck and the mire of the disease. And so this flicker of conviction, for me, it's the condemnation was gone and being removed. And this conviction that he was drawing me. He wanted to be there. He was on this search and rescue mission for me. And so I'm just so thankful today that I allowed that conviction of God to just
overtake me and to start showing me that there is a better way, and that it was to really get to know him, to really work my relationship with him, and that he would take care of everything else. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks. And now we've got Anne M. followed by Cheryl L. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning. This is Anne M., Anne with an E, and from North Carolina officially, but currently in Massachusetts. And I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And I wasn't originally going to share this morning. I was going to just listen, but I've been so struck by the shares and how relevant it is to to me. As folks have pointed out, this paragraph is all about, you know, are you licked? Are you ready to truly surrender? And I have been abstinent from my alcoholic foods and from binge eating for well over a year and a half now. And yet I still have times like yesterday afternoon when I think, oh, I could have this snack that is not on my plan. It is not an alcoholic food. It is, I could just have extra. And that thinking is a rabbit hole that will get me back to relapse. And so I need to be reminded consistently and regularly that I am powerless. We often say that step one is the only step we have to do perfectly. And yet I find that I'm having difficulty doing it perfectly, or at least this morning I'm feeling that way. And so I need you all. I need the God of my understanding, to whom I have prayed and meditated this morning. And I need this program that's written out so clearly in this textbook of Alcoholics Anonymous, and telling me what I need to do in order to find the spiritual connection with the God of my understanding. And as long as I have that, I'm going to be fine. My job is to do the footwork. The results are up to God. With that, I pass. Thank you, Belle, very much.
Thanks, Anne. And Cheryl L., we've got 2 minutes for you. So if you could take us out and try and keep it to 2 minutes, that would be great. Good morning.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl L. from Florida calling this morning. Grateful to be on the line. And yeah, I could really relate to this paragraph. Even when I came back into Overeaters Anonymous almost 4 years ago now, I still was not convinced, you know, to the core of my being that I was hopeless, because I hadn't gotten to a bottom that perhaps others had gotten to. That has changed over time. And so I had to come in, I had to do the work, and I had to get a relationship with a higher power that I trusted and relied upon. And I'm still working on that. That is not a one and done deal. It is a daily it is a daily journey for me to connect with my higher power, you know, throughout the day, because I have this spiritual malady, and that is a disconnect from my higher power. And unless I take care of that first, I can't even hope to be really, you know, have that reprieve from my mental and my physical condition. And so that's all I wanted to share this morning. I just wanted to claim my seat and thank you all for your shares. Thank you, and have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you to everybody who read and who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately follow closing. The share ID today, June 1st, 2026, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,505. That's 23505. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Robin P., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only, please.
Yes, thank you. Excuse me. Hi, I'm Robin P. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Be freely of what we find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.